The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to our Christmas candlelight service at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but wherever you are tonight, that's where we are. And I'm so glad you could join us for this service of story and song and candle lighting, this opportunity to celebrate this season together. Whatever your age, we welcome you tonight. We welcome you, whatever your faith tradition. We come to this celebration with open hearts and with an opportunity to be with one another during this Christmas celebration. The opening words I've chosen for tonight are from Howard Thurman, from a piece that he wrote in 1973. I think it's really relevant for 2020 as well. It's entitled "The Mood of Christmas." I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that burn all the year long. This is our candle lighting service, and I want to give just a little bit of instruction for those of you who may be fairly new to Zoom and haven't discovered the difference between speaker view and gallery view. So gallery view is when we see everyone in boxes. And so on your screen right now, if you're seeing everyone in boxes, that's gallery view. And we want to make sure we're able to get to gallery view when we do the candle lighting portion of our service towards the end. So you can also go to speaker view by going to the very right corner of your screen, and you'll see the word view, and you can click there and shift to speaker view if you would like. So you might want to practice that speaker view during most of the service. And then I'll instruct you again when we get to the candle lighting to go to gallery view so we get to see everyone's beautiful faces and your candle light.
Just to butt in real quick, sorry, Larry. If you join tonight on a mobile device, whether that's an iPhone, a tablet, an Android device, you won't have that view to switch into gallery view. But if you use your finger to swipe left or right on your screen, you can switch between the active speaker and then small groups of other participants. So now might be a good time to practice that as well, since you don't have that go see everybody at once option.
Okay, great. Thank you for that, Mike. So I'm going to light our chalice. And for our chalice lighting words, I'm choosing a short piece by Annie Dillard. We are here to abet creation, to witness to it, to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature, so that creation need not play to an empty house. Glad to be with you each this evening. Glad that we are not in an empty house, but we can keep one another company for this celebration of Christmas Eve. Some of you received a carol booklet before the service, and if you didn't, no problem. Most of all, most of our lyrics will appear on the screen. So our opening carol is "Go Tell It on the Mountain." So join in when you're ready, and let's make music together.
Go tell it on the mountain. that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Hello, everyone. I'm Susan Hare, and I'm going to be reading an ancient story from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And now, please join us in viewing this video of O Come All Ye Faithful by the Pentatonics, and sing along if you have a carol booklet or know the carol.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come, ye to Bethlehem. O come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him.
Be home. Wow, what a great version of that song. My name is Anne Rostosky, and I will be reading a story tonight. Some of you young folks got a copy of this via your parents' email, and if they printed it out, you're able to color it along with me while I read. The story is called The Light Shines in the Darkness, and it was written by Christina Villa and illustrated by Ted Dawson. It was Christmas Eve at Lily and Max's house. Lily and Max and their dad and grandma live on a farm far, far from the city. Outside, there are no street lights or traffic lights. There is only the light of the moon and stars. Inside, Dad is in the kitchen cooking up their annual Christmas Eve dinner with neighbors and friends. Upstairs, Grandma is wrapping presents. Stick-on bows are everywhere. Outside in the barn, the cows and the sheep and the chickens sleep and dream peacefully or watch the snow starting to fall. Inside, the doorbell rings, and it's their neighbor, Mr. Winkowski, who lives alone and is very old and very shy. Next, their friends from church all pile in. Finally, Mr. Nunez, Lily and Max's school principal, arrives. It's his first Christmas in their town, and he doesn't know very many people. While everyone was hugging and shaking hands and saying Merry Christmas and taking off their coats and hats and scarves, the lights on the tree and in the house flickered and went out. "Uh-oh," said Dad. "What happened?" cried Lily. Everyone stood there adjusting their eyes to the darkness and the light of the moon coming in through the window. Lily said, "It sure doesn't feel like Christmas without the lights on the tree. When are they coming back on?" "Well, we asked the kids' club at our last class what they would do, and here's what they said. Corinne said, move the power switch to put the power back on. Ryan said, go outside and play in the snow for hours, and afterwards drink hot cocoa. Hannah said, try to find my way outside, grab a brightly colored piece of snow and use it as a flashlight. Haley said, I have lots of flashlights, I'll use them and go out to play in the snow for a while." Very creative bunch, don't you think? Well, Marta said, maybe we should all go home. Everyone was disappointed until finally Max said, wait, before you leave, let's go outside. We can look at the stars and maybe sing a Christmas carol. Outside, the moon and stars were so bright that everyone could see clearly, just like daytime, but different. Everyone stood silently for a while, taking in the night sky. "Let's see, what should we sing? Suggestions?" asked Darius, the church choir director. Then, very quietly, Mr. Winkowski started to sing. "Silent night, holy night." The others joined in. "All is calm, all is bright." Some of the animals in the barn woke up and lifted their heads at the sound of the singing. "Wow, this kind of feels like Christmas," said Lily. "I know what you mean," said Mr. Nunez. It feels exactly like Christmas. The light of the moon and the stars are signs of a great love coming into the world with the birth of Jesus, said Jasmine, another friend from church. And the shepherds probably followed light just like this when they came to visit the baby in the manger, said Max. Then suddenly the lights came back on. Everyone cheered. Mr. Winkowski said, "You know, it's not the lights on the Christmas tree that make Christmas special. At Christmas, we take a little more time to show we love and care for each other. The light inside of us shines forth even more. And that holy light never, ever goes out," said Lily. And now Christine and David Perry, accompanied by Isaac Strader, will sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the word is come. Let earth with praises ring. Let every heart prepare a room. And heaven and nature
and
sing.
Heaven and nature
and
sing.
Heaven and nature and sing.
Heaven and nature
and
sing.
We will have a reading. Hi, I'm Manny McNeil. Our reading tonight, Every Night a Child is Born by Sophia Lyons Foss. For so the children come, and so they have been coming, always in the same way they come, born of the seed of man and woman. No angels herald their beginnings, no prophets predict their future courses. No wise men see a star to show where to find the babe that will save humankind. Yet each night a child is born is a holy night. Fathers and mothers sitting beside their children's cribs feel glory in the sight of a new life beginning. They ask, where and how will this new life end? Or will it ever end? Each night a child is born is a holy night. A time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping. We're now gonna move on to our next song. Christine will be accompanied again by Isaac Strader. This will be O Holy Night. And as a small note, the lyrics of the first verse will appear on the screen. And then Christine will lead us with the second verse in solo. Enjoy.
Yonder breaks a
Such a beautiful hymn, a beautiful carol. It's one of my favorites. And tonight we dare to sing Christmas carols once more. Tonight we dare to light candles in the dark once again. Tonight we tell the traditional stories of Christmas, and tonight we dare to tell stories about the birth of a child, stories about shepherds watching their sheep, and stories about stars brightly shining. We even dare to imagine angels, like the messengers that they are, singing into the dark, dark night. And we strain to hear them singing even within ourselves as well. Yes, with courage and with hope, with joy and with perseverance, we look at the world as it is, and we declare a world that can be. We point to the darkness and we declare, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. So we don't mind telling these same timeless stories again and again. And especially this year that we've had, we realize that we're never capable of stepping into the same story twice. We are always changing. The world around us is changing. And so familiar stories, we encounter them in different ways because of the changes within us and around us. So how might we enter these stories this year? A year when we've known so much darkness. A year when we've longed for so much more brightness. Tonight, my friends, we're not going to quibble about the facts of dates or locations or the truth of these stories. Of course, we know that they were never meant to be history at the time that they were told or the time in which they were composed. They were meant as parables, holding truths for us to discover and to rediscover again and again. And as parables, these stories invite us in. So let's enter the story once more tonight and find not just the story, but find ourselves as well. Let's enter the story in three distinct ways. Each time we will start with a central image. And that image, there was a star brightly, shining brightly in the night. We can take different vantage points about that star. And so let's explore those different vantage points and discover some of our own tendencies, our own proclivities as we face the darkness of the night. First, let's enter the story as the character or that part of us that might not have even noticed the star shining brightly in the night. This part of ourself oftentimes pays attention only to what's absolutely necessary, what needs doing, what needs to be accomplished, what needs to get done. So as we stroll into this story, focusing only on what is necessary, we may be annoyed by all these crowds in Bethlehem gathering for a census. These crowds, they are an inconvenience to us. They stand in the way of our getting from point A to point B. And maybe out of the corner of our eye, we see the star, but we don't pay attention to it because we've got places to go, people to see, things to do. If we saw the star at all, from this position, from this character, from this part of ourself, it was merely a star. Even in the middle of the night, in our Bethlehem neighborhood, we may have thought we heard a mother giving birth and even a newborn baby crying, but we roll over. It becomes an inconvenience for us, this crying in the night, because we need our sleep. We are annoyed somewhat by this temporary disruption. From our necessary point of view, we don't welcome complications or interruptions along our determined way. Dark skies, stars, babies being born. If it's not on our predetermined agenda, it becomes a distraction. So in this past year, some of us have probably had this tendency to do what's necessary, to get on with things, to get through things, to survive and to cope. And in our desire sometimes to do what's necessary, we oftentimes have said to ourselves, we want to get back to normal. And we may have focused on what normal was for us, but not realize that something also is shifting and changing around us and within us. So we may have missed something along the way in our tendency to look at only what needs to get done, only what we may have to do, only what we want to accomplish. Some of us may really identify with this persona, this particular way of being in the story. So now, let's turn to our central image once again. There was a star shining brightly in the night. And this time, as we enter the story, we make our way through the crowded streets of Bethlehem on that night. And as this character, we pause long enough to take it all in. We see that something is different, and we seek to make sense of things. Our question is not what must be done, what task do we need to do next? Our question becomes, where is all of this headed? Where should we be headed? We look critically at all of these people who are filling the streets and settling into homes and encampments and inns in Bethlehem that night because of that census. Yeah, that census. We say to ourselves and to anyone who will listen, this is just another way for the Romans to get money from us. Not only do they occupy us, they are also looking for more ways to squeeze us out of our own livelihood, to use us for their own benefit. We pause and we look up and down the crowded streets and inns and we mumble to ourselves, look at all these obedient lambs. We are complying when we should revolt. And one day, we will revolt. So this part of ourselves is different than that part of us that looks at just the necessary, the task at hand. This part of ourselves looks for the potential in things. When others see only events, this part of ourselves asks, where is this all heading? Where should all of this be heading? And as the character in this story, when we see the star in the night, we see not just a star, but we see a star that allows us to dream again of that day of justice and peace when there will truly be a true shalom of well-being for all people. As this person hearing the cries of the mother giving birth and those cries of the child piercing the night, we see not just a star. We hear not just the cries of a child. We recall the ancient prophecies told in Judea, the new anointed one of God, a descendant of King David, born in this city of David, Bethlehem. We long for this promised rescuer. We long, as we look at that dark sky, ways to, how could it hold our cries and our longings for a better world? The sky becomes a place for us to deposit our deepest longings and our deepest anguish about the world. We see that star shining bright, and we imagine that maybe one day we all will shine brightly again. The Unitarian minister and musician John Sullivan Dwight was one of those persons who saw potential where others only saw events. In 1855, he translated the verses of the song that Christine just sang for us from French, "O Holy Night." He translated it into English. And he did so to awaken the consciousness of others. This French carol became a favorite of Christian abolitionists who saw meaning beyond just the facts and the tragedies of their time. Do we see meaning beyond the facts and the tragedy of our time as well? Can we see potential rather than just events? So in this verse that Christine sang to us as part of her solo, we heard these words: "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains he shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." This became a carol in which the abolitionist could feel that the meaning of this ancient story was a relevant and contemporary story for their time. It arose, it helped arise in them a sense of compassion and justice. So as we enter this story, this time that we're in, can we not just see the events all around us, but the potential of all the events that we're in? Can we dare to see potential in not just the inconveniences of our time? Can we dare to imagine our connection to the cries of the ages? Can we dare imagine that not only is a child born, but the birth of a new humanity wants to happen as well? That's when we're looking at things through the eyes of potential. And finally, we return one last time to our central image. There was a star shining brightly in the night. Now let's go and enter this story in a different way. Let's go far away from the hustle and the bustle of Bethlehem that night. Let's join the shepherds who we are told are watching their sheep at night. Shepherds who are so familiar with the darkness of the night that they had befriended the dark. Perhaps you too have learned to be with the darkness of this past year in some new ways. Perhaps you too have found new ways to be with the darkness of our time, as did Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor, who wrote recently, "I've stopped trying to handle the darkness. I let the darkness handle me instead." Most of the time, all it wants to do is to hold me for a while, to slow me down, to keep me from running, to cover me up long enough to remember that being in the dark doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. It means I'm alive. And this is part of the deal. So for our shepherds, this is life as usual. We're accustomed to being close to the earth, close to the animals, close to the natural rhythms of our given world, cold and warmth, light and dark. And on this night among the shepherds, we only saw first the dark night, because we're too far from all the action in Bethlehem to hear the cries of the mother giving birth or the first cries of this newborn child. Yet in the vast darkness of their night sky, which they knew so well, the shepherds recognized something extraordinary happening. As the story goes, they saw a great light. And then an angel, a being of light, declares to them, "I'm bringing to you good news of great joy for all the people. For you, is born this day in the city of David, a rescuer, a deliverer, an anointed one of God. And then to these shepherds watching their sheep at night, the angel says, this will be a sign for you. You will find a stable. And in that stable, you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a trough. And suddenly the night sky seemed to the shepherds to be filled with a multitude of angels, beings of light, singing what sounded to them like a heavenly chorus. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among all. So when the angels had left, the shepherds looked at one another and they said, well, let us go now to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that has taken place, which has just been revealed to us. So when we enter the story as these shepherds, we see not just what is occurring, but we see the deeper meaning of things. When we enter the story as these shepherds, we see more than what we can make of what is happening. We see the extraordinary in the ordinary. We enter the story as shepherds. We risk leaving our routines aside for just a while so that we too can see this thing that is taking place within us and among us. We could have easily just dismissed this as just another night, just another star, just another birth. But on this night, we are lured to see the mystery that abides around us and within us once more with fresh eyes. Surely, as we move through this time in our history, our story, this moment in time, we will always need to pay attention to what is necessary, what needs getting done, and what needs to get done. Surely we will always want to bring forth the potential of things, what wants to happen, what wants to emerge. And we want to aim those things towards what can be right and true and peaceful. And on this night, may we also see what is extraordinary, what is holy and what is. On this night, may we also see that what is sacred in what can be. On this night, may we be able to sing a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angels' voices, O night divine, O night divine. When love was born, O night divine, O night divine. So this is a holy night. The stars are brightly shining. This is an ordinary night, but within the ordinary is also the extraordinary. This is a holy night. The lights are brightly shining within the skies above us. But may these lights also shine among us and within us as well. So may it be. So in speaking about lights, we now move to that portion of our service, which is the candlelight lighting part of our service. And of course, we're doing this virtually for the first time. And so I've got my toes crossed that we can do this well. I want to give you just a few instructions. Hopefully you were able to bring a candle with you to this. And if more than one person is with you, then what I'm going to ask is you be a little careful so that you receive light from the left. I'm demonstrating my left here. My left over here. Receive light from the left and give light from the right. That way you can coordinate it. I have faith you can do this. Just be careful. You don't burn the house down. So we want to be able to pass the light along if you have more than one person. And you will light the candles while we're singing Silent Night, and Jerry Lazaro will be singing that for us, and we'll be singing along with him. You may want to lower the lights or darken the room in some way as we move to singing Silent Night and preparing ourselves to light our candles. And then finally, just another reminder, this probably is most beautiful when you can move to the gallery view and be able to see others in the room as we are lighting our candles. And so if you can remember the instructions, go to view. If you're on a regular computer, go to view and click on gallery so that you see everyone's face as we prepare to do this. And Mike, I'm gonna ask you to give the instructions again for those who might be in another kind of device.
Yep, for folks who are on a mobile device, whether that's Android or iOS, an iPad, a tablet, if you swipe left to right with your finger on the screen, you should be able to move between the active speaker and then small groups of participants.
Yeah, in just a moment, Jerry, I'm gonna invite people to really appreciate this view of seeing each other's faces. And if you don't know this, there's an arrow to the right and you can go to another screen and see more faces, okay? So I am really overjoyed at seeing all of your faces and doing this together tonight in this way. And now, Jerry, let's sing. So take a moment still while our candles are still lit. And if you haven't moved to the next screen of gallery view, you want to see everyone that's here. You want to see these faces illumined by light. And let's appreciate each other. This, hopefully we can do this candlelight service in a different way next year, but this is how we're doing it this year. And it's so great to see all of you. Let's hold our candles high as I read our closing words from Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, and to make music in the heart. So may it be. And so this concludes our service, but we will have an informal gathering for those of you who would like to stick around for just a time to chat and get to know each other. And so thank you. Have a blessed, holy, merry Christmas and holiday time. And may you feel the warmth of our time together, illuminating your own heart. And may you feel the presence of everyone here as an abiding presence of compassion and love. So may it be. Amen. So we'll have an informal gathering time. There'll be a little music if you need to get up and stretch a bit, and then we'll gather soon after this this song is played.
It came upon a midnight clear. It's one of my favorite holiday songs. It was written by a Unitarian pastor, and it's one of the only holiday carols that speaks very specifically about social justice and about the ending of war and violence in the world. The blessed angels sing.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, with angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth and all goodwill, from heaven the news we bring. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats through all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on hovering wings, and ever o'er the battle sounds the blessed angels sing. But for the woes of war and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strains have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And we who fight the wars hear not the love song that they bring. Oh, hush the noise of battle strife and hear the angels sing.
Hear
For lo, the days have hastened on, the prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world sings back the song that now the angels sing. And the whole world sings back the song that now the angels sing.
Well, although we may not be together physically, we're so grateful to share this special time together on Christmas Eve. And on behalf of the board, I want to welcome all of you and thank everyone who had a hand in putting together this very beautiful service. And I would like to say that I'm wishing all of you the peace, hope, wonder, love, and joy that this holiday season can bring. Mm-hmm.